Yes.
Mr. Kempton is downstairs in my conference room, so if you'll just give me 30 seconds, I'm going to walk downstairs and be with him down there, okay?
Yep, no problem at all. Thank you. The recording has stopped at 9:22 and restarted at 9:23. We will do a swift roll call just to make sure that everyone is present. Dr. Castillo?
Here.
Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
All are present. Thank you.
We'll give Ms. Kent just another moment to be with her client.
Thank you, Ms. Castillo. I'm ready to go.
Perfect. Thank you.
You need to mute yours. Well, and Dr. Castillo, the complainant AP is present.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. We have Ms. Kent, you and your client introduce yourselves, please.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Kimberly Kent. I represent Stephen Kempton, who's here present conference room. We're both sitting at laptops, and unfortunately, that sometimes creates an echo. When he's speaking, I will try and mute mine. And when I'm speaking, I'll ask him to mute his. If, however, at any time the board cannot clearly understand us, let me know, and I'll go to a different room so that you can understand him. Obviously, you're going to be talking to him more than me.
Okay, thank you very much.
And he's going to make a statement first, and then I will follow.
Okay.
If that's appropriate now. I don't know the timing. I think, has Mindy presented yet?
No.
Okay.
Would patient AT like to introduce themselves?
Hello, this is AP.
All right, thank you for being here. Okay, we'll go ahead and have your summary, Mindy,
okay.
Please.
All right. Patient AP filed a complaint in October of 2021, alleging inappropriate contact and comments made of a sexual nature on three separate occasions by Mr. Kempton. The specific details were provided to you related to her complaints in Exhibit 1. Then based on the interviews that I conducted with AP, Mr. Kempton, and additional personnel, as well as reviewing AP's medical record, I requested additional documents to look at a broader context of what I was seeing in Mr. Kempton's clinical practice. The records that I subpoenaed included patient and staff schedules and additional patient records reviewed on a series of time, but I focused on two specific, to narrow it down, two specific dates of service. As you'll notice in the investigative report, that resulted in additional violations that I've cited for you. And in trying to, I understand that this is a very lengthy, somewhat complicated case. What I tried to do was when I looked at AP, I tried to identify what was I seeing in AP's record in clinical care, and then the wealth of information that I obtained from all these additional records, I tried to kind of separate them out. Let's see. I do want to point out that Ms. Kent and her client, Mr. Kempton, did provide a supplemental response to the investigative report that was listed as Exhibit 15, which starts on, I believe, your page 100. And in response to that, I provided additional comments that started on page 40 regarding the statements that were made in the supplemental written response. And if the board would like, I could go over those, but I believe they're self-evident in the report. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Kent, would you like to make your statement? I believe you're on mute.
I'm going to ask Mr. Kempton to make a statement first, and then I'll follow. Fair
Great,
enough?
Thank you.
Hello, board. Thank you very much for giving me the time to be able to discuss this case with you. My name is Stephen Kempton. I've been a physical therapist for 13 years. I'd like to discuss a couple things that have been brought to my attention with this investigation. Number one is the patient AP. I am extremely sorry for anything that I did to cause her to feel inappropriately touched or advanced or in any other manner. I would never intentionally try to do that. Number two is I feel really bad for any psychological or emotional damages or harm that I caused her. I would never, ever try to do that to a patient or purposely try to do that. Since then, I've made quite a few changes to be able to prevent anything like this happening again. Let me back up a little bit more. I want to first, talking about Ms. AP, I want to categorically deny that I ever touched her inappropriately or advanced her in any way. I feel really, that's a really disturbing accusation, and it makes me disgusted, and I feel, I just don't, this whole situation makes me feel very uncomfortable. But I want to add that I have made quite a bit changes to be able to prevent anything like this happening again, such as I will, always have an assistive personnel with me if I'm ever having to treat a patient in a room. And then secondly is the documentation, is that there's a whole bunch of documentation changes that I have learned through taking courses since this has come out, taking courses to be able to correct any mistakes that I have, the mistakes that have been pointed out that I've made. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kent?
On the allegation of that was made by AP, I think it's important as an attorney to point out that we really have to look at the evidence in terms of the allegation, for example, that Mr. Kempton grabbed this woman's breasts. Because that's serious. And if that happened, we would expect all of us, as just everyday people, would expect that patient to report that immediately to anyone, a police officer, a person of authority. And this patient was actually undergoing psychotherapy with her psychologist at the time of this event. And yet she did not report this for 6 months. And that's concerning to me in terms of validation. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't believe that AP has this response. And we could talk about all the different ways that patients can take something and unfortunately develop a story, because that's sometimes what happens. And then the story builds and it builds and it builds. But there's no evidence that the event as described, other than her statement that this occurred. And you have to question, even, I think Mindy interviewed her good friend who said, she just said she was uncomfortable about a session. And I think that's accurate. I think that probably best describes what happened. Whatever happened on that day left the patient feeling uncomfortable. But the failure to report this really graphic and quite, in my opinion, disgusting description of a physical therapist who has absolutely no authority, legally, ethically, et cetera, to touch a patient's breast is very serious. And so we really put Mr. Kempton through the ringer. As a lawyer, that's my job too, because if there's an impropriety that has occurred by a healthcare provider, I believe it or not, even as a defense lawyer, it's my job to protect the public as well. So I don't find that the specific allegation is substantiated, and I hope the board will agree. I'm pretty certain that this is the kind of case that's going to require more review, and I welcome that, because I think Mr. Kempton has a lot to say about his practice and about the allegations contained in the investigative report, and I don't think you'll be able to get all of your questions and answered in this setting, but maybe. But I want you to know, we're all comfortable with a second review so that he can explain more of his approach to physical therapy in his practice. That being said, I want the board to know that he has already made some very specific concrete changes to his practice, and they are hard changes. Hard meaning hard and fast, not difficult, but they are substantial. And they are designed to prevent any patient from ever being concerned about impropriety, from ever occurring. I have some concerns about the method, and I say this because I don't have any criticisms of Mindy Richardson. She obviously is a very hard worker and does a very good job in terms of presenting information to the board. But I do think you have to be careful about crossing that line of objectivity when you're conducting an investigation, particularly when you're interviewing a physical therapy aide who is in physical therapy school, who knows that they're going to be governed and ruled and regulated, and that they're going to be appearing in front of this very board asking for a license soon. So that's the kind of bias that we just have to be mindful as lawyers. We're mindful of it in the courtroom, and we educate the jury about it. And I think it's a concern in this case. Again, no criticisms of many, but the leading questions of a person who's under the authority, soon to be asking for a license from the board, has to go into how the board evaluates that witness's testimony. Okay, that's my only point. And I'll make that again later on, but I think it's important that you know I have that concern now. And I have that concern throughout the investigative report. And again, I think it's a natural divergence of an investigator. I think it's natural, but I think it's a line that an investigator needs to toe the line too, because our goal is to get to the truth, and that's for everyone. There's two sides to the story, and so we really want to get to the truth. So those are the things that I want to make. I do think that Mr. Kempton's apology to AP is genuine. Whatever she senses, feels, and whatever way she feels for her and for him, we are deeply sorry. No patient should feel that way after a physical therapy visit. And it's my commitment and his commitment that this practice brings up its documentation standards to reflect the changes that have been put into place. I know you'll have a lot of questions for Mr. Kempton, and I think if there's anything that you want to address with me on a legal perspective, I'm open for questions as well.
Great. Thank you. Patient AT, would you like to make a statement? You're not required to.
Yes, I would. And I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. So my voice is shaky. The reason why I did not bring this to others in a legal set immediately was, one, I was shocked that I would be treated as such under a medical provider. Two, I expected the reaction that I just heard from authorities. And receiving care from someone, you expect to be treated respectfully. And in this case, I was not, and I was scared, and I didn't know what to do because I didn't think anyone would believe a patient over a medical provider who has been seen by a board and is under a board's review to make sure that they hold up their practices to a certain standard. And in this case, I was scared to bring this to light. One, because I thought no one would believe me. And two, because I thought I would receive the reactions that I just heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Kenton or the patient?
Dr. CEO, this is Josh Breer. I have several questions, but I think they're more appropriate in the context of an informal interview. And so I would move this matter to an informal interview.
I'm in agreement with you, Mr. Greer. I do believe that people should be under oath and that we need to get a very clear picture about what's been happening. I would like to add the potential violations that Ms. Richardson uncovered in her investigation to be part of that informal hearing.
I concur.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Before we call the vote on this, I would like to move into executive session for legal counsel or advice.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. With me just 1 second, please. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton?
I think.
Mr. Barton? He's not muted.
He might already be there.
No, I see.
He's still on. I wonder if his signal's cutting out.
Did my yes make it through, or did it cut out?
It did just now. Thank you. So you're voting yes to go into executive session, correct?
I'm voting yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
The motion passes. All board members, please exit this call. Move on to the executive session meeting. This meeting will stop recording at 9:41. As soon as executive session is over, the board will return to this meeting and will begin again.